he's doing. So thank you. Just before our children go out, I just want to share something with us, because so often there's things that I get to see that you don't get to see. And what I'm going to be speaking about today is perseverance. And there's times in our lives where we just want to give up and we think, what is the point? Or maybe it's just me. But as I read our vision statement, as I read it afresh every Sunday, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me and you, because the Lord has anointed us, anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. It doesn't end there. He has sent us, me, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. And last week, it wasn't until Paul shared from the front that it hit me yet again, the work of this ministry. So often we can think that we're a small group of people tucked away in the middle of nowhere, on the way to nowhere, but God knows who we are, where we're going, and what we're doing. When I look at you, Uganda, the work that you, this church, has been part of a blessing to see, infrastructure put in, wells dug, walls built, a medical center nearly fit for purpose. We don't get to see these things on a regular basis. Karen's going out. She'll bring back lots of stories. But just before she went out, yet again, this church sent a level of income out on a one-off payment to buy, may not sound a lot, 700 chickens, feed them for 6 months. That's a big news story for a small church. Paul said this. I've witnessed his journey. After men's breakfast one day, he stopped me outside and he says, Andrew, will you pray for me? I have imposter syndrome. So I said, what's imposter syndrome? He said, I don't feel good enough. I don't feel worthy. Every time I'm in work, I think people are talking about me. I just struggle all the time with my worth. And this is a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. So we prayed. And it's the Holy Spirit that does the work. Yes, we prayed. And he got delivered from that. He got healed from that. But you don't get to see it. He testified at the front here and he said, I came in broken. I came in depressed. I suffered major depression and God healed me. See, these are the things your prayers, your contributions are doing. So I just wanted to share with you that as we talk about perseverance today. So our children are going out to Children's Church. I trust that they will be blessed and come back a blessing. Amen. 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 Do you know what? Thanks, Emma and Nigel, for worship, because sometimes it's easy to just look at your feet, as Peter did when he was getting out of the boat, but we need to take our eyes off of our circumstances and fix them upon the Lord, and that's what worship does for me. And I want to talk about this whole area of perseverance. Now, if you're a visitor, welcome. We trust that God will bless you. If you've ever wondered if we preach Bible here, then I have about 15 scriptures. I'm not saying I'm going to get through them all. But as I was starting to look at perseverance, you know, you start looking at scripture and it shows you time after time after time that we should persevere. And I remember many, many years ago, I came back from somewhere abroad and there was a meeting at Ely. And I was with Ken in the Czech Republic. And I came back early and I came to this meeting. And this, you know, there's times in our lives that somebody says something and it's very poignant and it doesn't leave you. One of the things for me, and I'm not saying it's true for you, I don't journal, I don't write things down. And because the Lord said to me that I will bring back to remembrance the things that are important for you in your life. And today, as I was going through these scriptures, I was reminded that somebody stood up and they said over my life, do not give up. Do not give up on each other. Do not give up on those round about you. Keep going. I'm tying you to the tree. I'm staking you to the plot. There's things coming that you can't go over, you can't go under, you can't go round. You go through it and there's a circumstance and a situation, but do not give up. So God speaks to us and he is going to speak to you. Blessed is the one, this is in James 1 verse 12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive a crown. When we look at the era of perseverance, it's not just persevering in our daily lives, persevering with each other, Susan having to persevere with me as her husband, but it's about persevering to the end. The Bible says that those that persevere will enter in. That shows us that the enemy comes along to knock us off the road. There's a straight street, isn't there? There's a straight street, and the enemy wants to come and push us off straight street and take us on the broad road, and we're already set on the narrow road, but the broad road looks so lovely and so lush. So when we talk about perseverance, mainly in these scriptures, it's talking about persevere till the end, because I'm coming back. And it's about us having faith for today and faith for the future. It says this, because having stood the test, that person will receive a crown of life, and this is what I'm talking about, that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires. And it goes on to check us and say, listen, sometimes we go off course because we want to. And I want to encourage us. I want us to look at Scripture and just see what God is saying to us afresh and encourage us to keep going. We may look at a circumstance and think, there's no way I can get over that. But God can help you through that. There's times that you'll go through struggle, strife. How do I know that? Because the Bible says so. But you're not on your own. God will help you through it. As a church, there's times where we think, where are you taking us, Lord? He will lead us. In this portion of scripture here from Romans 5:3, it says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. When we look at scripture, it's always good to read above it and read below it, because we can just take a portion of scripture and make it fit exactly where we want it to fit. But I want you to see the fullness of God's word. Therefore, it says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That should be settled. That we have peace with him. What does that mean? That the war of the law that condemns us to death and eternal damnation has been dealt with. We have peace with God through his shed blood and resurrection, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Now, when we look through scripture, we see there's times that the disciples would glory in their sufferings. I'm not in that position at the moment. I don't know about you, but what it's saying is this, it's only temporary. That's what it really means, it's only temporary. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And that's about perseverance that I want to talk about. When we go through things, when we're tested, you know, there's metals are heated up and the dross is removed and it's heated again. And then it's proved, it's tested to see if it can stand the weight. If there's an acro, that acro needs to be able to be 1, 2, 3 ton of pressure to see if it can stand what it's made for. And for you and I, we will come under times of testing to see if we are who God really believes we are. Perseverance gives us that picture that we should keep going forward. So I want to encourage you and say, keep going forward. See, someone agrees? Keep going forward. I love a cheerleader. Keep childlike faith. Amen to that. It says this, therefore, we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Let's read what it says here. It says this, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Just pause. We reap what we sow. Are we sowing goodness? Then we'll reap goodness. Are we sowing destruction? We'll reap destruction. Scripture is the good and the bad, isn't it? But it's all for our maturity. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. There's a harvest coming. You know, there's a story that I tell from time to time. It's a true story. I can't remember all the facts, but there was somebody who chose to swim a certain channel. Can't remember which channel it was, but it was a long way. It was a long distance. And they're starting to swim, and there was a boat that would shadow them all the way. And all they had to do was say help, and they'd come and rescue them. And apparently, as they got closer and closer to their destination, fog, thick fog, descended. And they were getting tired. And tired. And in the end, they just gave up. They just said, help. And the boat came and picked them up, and it sailed a half a mile to shore. Now, if they'd have been able to see the shoreline, surely they wouldn't have given up. They'd have had something to hang on to. There would have been an anchor for their soul, if you like. There'd been that something that would compel them to go forward. For us, the Bible says, do not walk by sight. Walk by faith. We may not see it, but let's believe it's there in the distance. Let's not give up. Let's not become weary in doing good. Let's do good because if we do not give up, therefore we have opportunity. Let us do good to all people, especially one another, especially those that belong to the household of believers. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a believer, God's given you victory. Death has no hold over you. Do you know what? There are people who are living dead. They're living dead. They're walking into destruction. But we can say, this passage of scripture is read out many times at funerals. I've done it myself. When we're taking a funeral of a loved one, a Christian, we can say this, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But we as the living can declare this to ourselves and to the powers around us. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law, but we've overcome the law through Jesus Christ, yes? Let's not give up in doing good things. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. And when you stand firm, it is a stance. Now, I'm not a boxer. I'm not a fighter, a martial arts. But I know that if someone tries to push me, I need to stand firm. And as I stand firm, as I make that stance, it's harder to push me. And it'll be harder to push you. In the spiritual, God says to you and me afresh, stand firm. Stand firm in your faith. Stand firm in what God has told you. Stand firm in what you read in Scripture. Stand firm in what the prize is that we're to run this race that God has given us. So I want to encourage us to persevere, to keep going forward. Whether it's spiritual, natural, whether it's about people, whether it's about relationships, whether it's about a marriage, whether it's about friendship, whether it's children and parents, whether it's grandparents, whether it's neighbors, whether it's your enemy, stand firm knowing that God is for you. And the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? In Hebrews 12 verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run the race with perseverance. Do you know what? I find scripture really encouraging because it gives us the answer to the questions before we even ask the questions. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, and when you look into this, you can see through history, through the apostles and the prophets and the teachers and the evangelists and Christ himself, there's a heavenly witness. There's a witness of what's gone before. So when we look through, just imagine having a conversation with Jesus, going, yeah, Jesus, but you don't understand. You don't understand what it's like to be falsely accused. Well, I'm a witness, he could say. You don't understand what it is to be beaten for something that you didn't do. I'm a witness. You don't understand what it is when people, I'm a witness. And we have a witness in God's word. We can look at what God said then. And the Bible says this, I am the same, Jesus. The Lord says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he did it then, he'll do it now. The Bible is a witness. And then we have each other who will witness and spur each other on. So if I was running a race, which I'm probably not going to do a natural race. I'm hoping that my friends and family here would be, go on, Andrew, you can do that half a mile. Keep going. Why? Because there's a witness. There's an encouragement. So God's word is a witness to us. So we're not on our own. So it's a, therefore, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. That gives you this illustration that we're weighed down by burdens at times. We're weighed down by things that we don't need. There was a, I'm rushing here, I know, because there's so much I want to get through. But Susan and I, we was away with Alan Molyneux at a conference, and we went and we saw an after dinner speaker, and he was a man who had, he'd walked one of the pools, I don't know which one, and it was one of the first times they'd gone unaided, and he had this ethos that when we get to this point, we can only carry so much weight, so we'll throw the rest away. Now just picture this. This man had packed everything that this expedition needed. And he worked out that they needed so many calories a day. Now, food and water, or food especially, was in short supply. When they got to a certain point, they had several kilograms of food, more than what he said they needed. And he told everyone to throw it away. Just picture that. This food could save their lives. He said, no. I want you to let it go. And there's times and circumstances and situations in my life and your life that there's something that is good, but it's stopping you from walking and running the race. There's something in your life that is good, but it's hindering you. There's a like a mantle on you that someone's put, a cloak on you, which is good. You don't need to do this because... Now this isn't a plug about coming to church on a Sunday. But the Bible says, do not forsake the meeting together. When we come and collectively worship, something happens in the heavenlies. And there's times in my life where I've been given an opportunity to do something and I think, oh, yeah, that's good to do that. That would be good. That's family. That's encouraging. And yet I'm asked to come and attend with other believers. There's things that the enemy will put upon us that seem good. This food was a good thing. There's nothing wrong with the food, but it was going to slow them down. It was going to stop them from meeting their goal. So let us throw off the things that hinder us. And then you know what that is. It's not for me to tell you. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So when you are feeling that, I can't do this, look at Jesus. You see, in the garden, it says of Christ that he knelt down and he prayed. He wept, and there's like tears of blood. Such was the anguish he was going through. And it says in Scripture, and I love what it says here, it says, going a little further. And there's times in our lives that we need to go a little further. Do you know what? If we just inch forward a bit at a time. There's a dear friend of mine and some people in the church. He died prematurely of an alcohol-related disease. And I used to say to him at times, I won't mention his name because of the tape, I used to say, what happens when you take two steps forward and one step back? He said, I've failed. I said, no, you've taken one step forward. What happens when we take two steps forward and one step back? We've gone one step forward. So going a little further. But you don't understand, Pastor, I failed. Go a little further. You don't understand, but I struggle. Go a little further. Let's be a church of people that believe that God's not finished with us, that he has a plan and a purpose for this church, for this ministry, and particularly for you as an individual. We've been talking about the power of God over the last few weeks, and I wanted to bring into the equation the power of the ordinary. Because I do believe in the Pentecost power. I do believe in the signs, the wonders, the miracles. I do believe that God created me. He can recreate any part of me he chooses. I do believe that he can give sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. And he can cause these bones to be knitted together. I believe that because the Bible tells me so. But I want us as a church to have a whole rounded view on the power of God. See, the power of God works through the everyday, through the ordinary. The power of God works through your prayer, works through my prayer. The power of God works through the situation that we have today. Perseverance means, Lord, you will. In Philippians 3, verse 14, it says this, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. I press on. And when we look at that word press, you know, I was at a sanctuary the other day. Where was it we were walking around? Anyway, went into the Pensthorpe, went into the gift shop, and there was these little square blocks with twist locks on each corner. And it was a press. It said flower press. And in order for that beauty to be lasting forever, there needed to be some pressure applied to the flower. Yes? You get the picture? So there's times where we will be under pressure. But when we're under pressure, we know about coal, we know about diamonds. Things are under pressure. It produces something. It says this, I press on. It means there's times that there will be a resistance as we go forward. Have you ever tried to walk in the wind when it's full on in your face? You press on because you need to get home. I've walked through blizzards at times to get to work in snow that came up to my knees, and yet there was a wind with drifts coming towards me. And I would press on in which, not to get the prize, but to get to work. How much more do we as Christians press on to do what God has called us to do? Toward the goal to win the prize that God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There's a day coming where he will say to each one of us, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Romans 8, verse 37. No, it carries on. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. It's talking about trials and tribulations, persecutions. It talks about, I face death, Paul says, all day long for your sake. But he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am convinced, and that's my question for you. Are you convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither the height or the depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able, get this bit, be able to separate us, you, from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, it doesn't matter what goes on, how we're pressed, how we're coerced. Let's be persevering people. Let's press in to what God has for us. Now, either things that are natural in my life that I have to overcome, I have to fight with things that I want to do, but I know I shouldn't do. Paul says it this way, doesn't he? He says, the things I should do, I find difficult. The things I shouldn't do, I find easy. Anyone else like that? It's life, isn't it? But there's a witness in this word. You're not alone. You see, sin only becomes destructive when it's fully formed. You see, when we're tempted, temptation can be dealt with. It's when it's fully formed into sin. And the Bible gives us a witness. I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor attitude, nor your shortcomings will be able to separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. So let's persevere. Let's move forward into God's plans and purposes. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. As we get older, that becomes more apparent, doesn't it? I go out to do some work and I come back and I say to Susan, I'm shattered. What have you done? Not much. I just thought about it. That was enough. Do you know what? There's a tree in my garden, a willow tree. Half of it is dead and the other half was huge. Trunk was here and it was overhanging. It was near my barn and my sheds. And for weeks and weeks and months, I've been looking at this going, how am I going to do that? How am I going to cut it? Where am I going to cut it? And yesterday I bit the bullet and I cut the tree. That exhausted me mentally. because I was just worried it was going to fall straight through the building. But you know what? It's a life lesson, isn't it? You know, I made a decision and I'm going to go with it. And when you start on this journey of faith, are you fully convinced that God is able? If you are, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on what is seen, but not what is... We do not fix our eyes on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We have to look through the eyes of faith. You know, when we pray for somebody, we don't know what the outcome is going to be, but we need to pray in faith. I said to you about this whole area of power, and I brought the power of the Holy Spirit 1, and in the future there'll be the power of the Holy Spirit 2. But in the meantime, we're looking at the power of the everyday. We're looking at the power of perseverance. And the reason I say the power of perseverance, because there is a power in perseverance. Some of us in this room have been Christians a long time, some not so long. But when people look at us, I've been to places, lots of people in business know me around King's Lynn for when I was in business, and they would say, are you still in church? I said, yes, I'm still a Christian, I'm still a pastor, I'm still going forward. And that's a witness. God encourage us to go forward. In Matthew 24, but the one, 13, the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. This indicates to us that there are people that won't stand firm till the end, and therefore won't be saved. You know, when we look at salvation, we need to be assured that it doesn't matter what we do, if we put our trust in Jesus Christ, if we ask for forgiveness, we have to believe he forgave us. That he came to inhabit us through the power of his Holy Spirit. We've been born again, born afresh of his Spirit. And that nothing will separate you from that love. Nothing. There's a scripture in the Bible that says our motives and our attitudes and our words will be tested, but we will still have salvation. There's the straw and the stubble and the hay that will be consumed. They're the things that are not of God. And then the goodness of God's word that's in us will remain. But your salvation, my salvation, is assured. But there are people that never gave their life to the Lord. They're just words. And tragically, they will fall into a chasm. For this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. God's in control. So when we look at wars and rumors of wars, when we look around us and think, my goodness, what's happening in this country, in that country, what's happening here in our country, be assured, persevere. God knows what he's doing. Don't live by sight, live by faith. Say, okay, Lord, this looks bad, but you've said that I'm more than a conqueror. You've said that I'm overcomer. You've encouraged me to press in. You've encouraged me to move forward. In 1 Peter 5, verse 10, and the God of all grace, not just some grace, not just part of grace, his undeserved favor, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, that's you and that's me, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. If you take the illustration of Paul when he was imprisoned. He's imprisoned and he's put in the inner cell, Paul and Silas. And they're in the inner cell. It's dark, dark, dark. Susan and I went to Alcatraz when we visited America. And we went into one of the cells. Susan let me out, thankfully. We went into one of the cells and it was dark, dark. You know, you get... outside at night it's dark, but it's not fully pitch black because there's the light of a moon. Well, this was dark. And that just illustrated to us what it must have been like for Paul as he was in that inner cell. And yet, he was being persecuted. And yet, what did he do? He started to sing and worship. And I can't imagine what I would do in those situations. But I know this. I can't do anything of myself, so I need to trust God. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Just take those words. We can just gloss over them. Strong. I'm strong in the Lord, but I feel weak in myself. Though I am weak, in you, Lord, I am strong. Doesn't matter what your physique is. We are strong in the Lord. Firm. Not going anywhere. Steadfast. Stable. You know, I marvel at people that can surf. They're steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And we're talking about power today. The power of perseverance. Just keep going. Just see what God will do as you trust in him. Only a couple more scriptures. Please bear with me. In Isaiah 40, 31. But those whose hope in the Lord will renew their strength. It goes on as we read up. Even youths grow tired and weary, Bernie. Even the young get tired. There's hope for us. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Going a little further. Although we can't see the end, let's believe it's there. Let's persevere in the good times and the bad times. Let's persevere in the times where we don't feel like it. And remember, God says, live by faith, not by what you see in the natural. You know, if we look at what happens in the natural, many of us may be encouraged to give up. It says this in Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This indicates that some people are half-hearted, not whole-hearted. Remember when they went to spy out the land and the Lord said, here's Caleb. He followed me wholeheartedly. He believed what I said. And if you look at that whole picture, it says, enter the land that I am giving you. So there was a clue in that sentence. And yet there are those that are half-hearted, not whole-hearted. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So this indicates sometimes we can be half-hearted. Lean not on your own understanding. How many times have you tried to work it out? I have. If I do this, this will happen. If I go there, then that will do that. And it's like a chessboard, isn't it? And you're preempting each move. But how many of you also know that you turn left and you should have turned right? You stop and you should have kept on going. You kept on going, you should have stopped. You've said this will never happen, and yet it's happened. We'll never be able to do that, and yet you have. Lean not on your own understanding. Now, that's easy to say, it's hard to do. But I just want to encourage you to keep pressing in. Keep going forward. There is power in perseverance. In all your ways, submit to him. So how do we not lean on our own understanding? Gives us the answer in the scripture. In all your ways, in all our ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Now we know that there's the bumps in the road, but he'll make it straight. There's the twists and the turns. The crooked will be made straight. The high will be low. The low will be high. Scripture says there's a straight street that we can walk on. And yes, there'll be times that we will struggle. Do not be wise in your own eyes. These are not my words, they're his words. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. And do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son he delights in. Blessed are those that find wisdom, and that talks about being wise. It talks about being wise. There's a message I ministered on years ago, and it was the wisdom of the world or the wisdom of the word. And we need to see the wisdom of the word. God is for us, and if he's for us, who can be against us? In Luke 21, 19, stand firm and you will win life. It goes back to that stance, stand firm. There's going to be a wind of adversity that tries to blow us off course. It tries to blow us this way and that way. Stand firm, believing that God is for you and not against you. Persevere, this power in perseverance. I'll move quickly through these last few scriptures. In Colossians 1, 11. being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. So when we talk about power, there is a dunamis of the Holy Spirit. There is a power in the everyday. There's a power in persistence and persevering according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Endurance and patience. Don't give up. Go a little further. Personalize it. You know, I'm not just talking about a ministry for church. I'm talking about in your personal lives. Just picture something that you're struggling with and persevere. Go a bit further. That relationship, go a bit further. That situation, go a bit further. That thing in your life that you've been praying for and you haven't seen the answer, go a little further. Persevere in it until God says stop. Until God says stop. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't give up on those around us. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 12. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Let's keep going with endurance and perseverance. Let's see what God does in us and through us. Psalm 27 verse 14, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, wait for the Lord. I remain confident in this in 13, that I will see the goodness of the Lord. Are you confident in God's goodness? If not, pray afresh. Lord, show me, encourage me, enable me, help me to stand firm and keep going forward. In Revelation 3 verse 10, since you have kept my command to endure patiently. This is the end of scripture. This is a revelation that's spoken to me and you as we've gone through all of these scriptures in the Bible. This is what's said to us afresh. Since you have kept my command and endure patiently, means keep going, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Keep keeping on. See the power in perseverance? I'll finish with James 1:4. Let perseverance finish its work. This portion of scripture spoke to me many years ago because I would pray and there's Karen and I would often smile at each other whenever I said this. Trial and tribulation produces character, character hope, and hope won't disappoint. And we'd look at each other and say, Lord, we've got enough character. Thank you. No more trial and tribulation. But then I read this portion of scripture and it says, let perseverance finish its work. You know, there's times in my life that I want to cut the trial short. That's enough, Lord. I've had enough. How much more can we take? Lord, I don't need to keep pressing on in this. Surely this is enough time in this trial and tribulation. But it says, let it finish his work. Listen, so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. You may be mature and complete. That talks about being whole. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask. So I'm going to finish with that portion of scripture. Pray, ask Emma and Nigel to come back and we just finish in worship. I want to encourage you as an individual to let perseverance finish its work. To don't give up on each other. Don't give up on those things around you. Don't give up on the plans and purposes that you know God has for you. Don't give up meeting together. Don't give up praying for the impossible to be made possible. Father, we thank you for perseverance needs to do its work. Lord, we thank you that we walk by faith, not by sight. Lord, we thank you that in the right time, you'll bring the high low and the low high, and the crooked paths will be straightened out. That Father God, that you will do a work in us. Lord, help us to fix our eyes upon you, the author, the perfecter, and the finisher of our faith. We ask this in the power of the Holy Spirit. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.